Greetings and welcome to Soundography, a crash course, a cash course in music. Pay us your money. Crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I'm Hammond Chamberlain.
And we've got another You Gotta Listen to This. I think this is our last one before we get to the new season of the show.
We've got the Patreon one still.
Oh, the Patreon one. Right, of course. Okay, so it's the last one of us and friends of the show.
Yep.
And we have a new friend of the show.
I was going to say, patrons are friends of the show.
Yeah, so a new friend of the show is what they are. Yeah. And it's my turn to make Hammond listen to something. And I decided to pick an album that is one of my favorites from the early 90s. As a matter of fact, this one came out in mid-1990. And for me, really exemplifies the beginning sounds of that decade, besides grunge and besides, you know, Venga Boys and stuff like that.
Well, it's funny because there's a lot of 90s sound. There's the boy bands and the Britney Spearses and all that stuff. And there's grunge. And then there's that beginnings of post-pop metal, post-punk kind of sound.
Oh, yes.
With Green Day. Like, and then you got this new metal that's starting to brew and kind of bubble underneath. So this is everything that isn't.
This is the sound that I was listening to in the 90s.
Yeah,
because I wasn't listening to, before grunge came out, this is what I was listening to.
Yeah, this is the Posies, Crowded House.
Posies are a good comparison.
The Outfield a little bit.
Little Outfield. James, I think, is a really solid comparison.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Matthew Sweet, some of Matthew Sweet stuff. The band is the Trash Can Sinatras, and this is their debut album, Cake. C-A-K-E, Cake.
They're going the distance.
I don't know if any of them wear a short skirt and a long jacket. So these guys are like jangle pop to the extreme. They are, again, a lot of those bands that you heard us mention, a House of Freaks. There were a lot of these bands that sounded like this in the early 90s. What these guys do, though, for me is an album that is like a hot cup of tea or a warm bath on a cold day or whatever. I mean, we'll get to the lyrics in just a second, but the sound is just a straightforward pop album with hooks aplenty and nary a minor chord in sight.
Yes. Well, it's weird. You call it jangle pop, but I have to tell you that this is a really smooth sounding album. When I think of jangle pop, I think of more of a garage sound.
Oh, really?
And this is it's a very sophisticatedly recorded and sounding album. I mean, listening on a good pair of headphones will do you a world of good when you listen to this one.
Jangle pop for me is like an electric guitar with a lot of reverb on it.
Okay.
Very, and kind of more on the trebly side than the bass side, like Throwing Muses or Belly. Belly was a great example of jangle pop. Yeah. And probably was, I could see them traveling in the same circles as these guys. These guys, by the way, Scottish band. And it's funny because never really delved into their biography myself, but they were, they're from Irvine, Scotland. No question whether or not they're from Scotland. You can definitely hear the accent in the lyrics, which I really like. And probably, sound of their music aside, lyrically, they're like an XTC XTC in training on this album. Really clever, sarcastic, and punny lyrics that, again, because their accents are a little on the stronger side, I actually had to pull up the lyric sheet this time, or lyrics in Apple Music, to understand what they were singing. But once I did, it's like, oh, clever little hooks and twists and plays on words and things like that. It's maybe the only time I've ever heard the word rigmarole used in pop music. these guys had a couple big hits come from this album. I can't really call them big hits. They were big AOR and college radio hits, Obscurity Knox and Only Tongue Can Tell.
But
that's how I heard of them.
The album did spend some time in the top 200, though, if I'm not mistaken, from what I read.
Did it? I think it did. Yes. Let's see here. Let me go back to the Cake page. The page of Cake.
The recipe, so to speak.
The recipe for Cake. I'm not showing, let's see here, critical reception, but I'm not seeing a... See, oh, yeah, there we go. The UK album charts, number 74 on the UK albums chart.
Okay, all right.
No surprise. I mean, it is a solid, for a debut album, it's very solid. And these guys sound, again, when I was first hearing them, I was assuming it was like a UK college band because it has that young kind of quarter pub feel to it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if... you know, where they were when they were releasing that first album, but I'm pretty sure they were out of college.
Well, one of the things I read said they compared them to the Smiths, and I have to kind of agree but disagree because there are some similarities. But I always feel
I always feel like
the Smiths were way more depressed, just dour, in general.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think if you took Morrissey out of the picture and you replaced if you found the major versions of every minor key in a Smith song. You'd get a lot of the same sounds.
Yeah, right? Remove Morrissey, production. Put everyone else on a therapeutic dose, and then it would be good.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Hey, for all I know, Johnny Marr is a very happy person without Morrissey. So,
but I, you know, it's funny because I've been drawing a lot of comparisons because when I was in college, I spent a lot of time listening to a whole lot of music because I was working in a club, mm-hmm. and I was listening to a lot of things just in general because, you know, college is where you kind of get your musical taste listens out of the way to figure out where you're going to land as you get older. I listened to a lot of stuff that would have fallen within this wheelhouse. And the one thing that keeps kind of hanging out there is that comparison you made to Crowded House. And mm-hmm. it's so Crowded Housey that I kept thinking, oh, so when are they going to play The Dream Is Over? Hey now.
Right. Yeah. It feels like it should be happening any second.
Yeah. If they were going to cover something in concert during the 90s, that's what they would cover.
Honestly, one of the notes I wrote down before the show today is this band is Crowded House if every song was Something So Strong.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. You're not wrong on that. You're very, very right. But that being said, this was really, really enjoyable. Like, I was a little bit trepidatious just because... Mm-hmm. Sometimes our musical tastes really line up, but other times they're just a little bit out of step.
Level 42.
And when they're...
Even the XTC connection, the XTC it makes a more solid connection for me than it did for you.
Yeah. So, I mean, every now and then we're a little bit out of step, but most of the time we line up. And I was really surprised. The more I listened to this, the more it lined up. And the more I'm like, you know what? I'm going to put some of this on my phone and keep it there because this is good.
Oh, that's cool. Very cool. Yeah. Favorite track on the album for me, by the way. I'm curious if this one is one of the ones you'd put on your phone, is Circling the Circumference.
I loved that song.
Yeah, that is such a hook, man. The whole song is a hook. Again, I had no idea what they were singing about for the last 30 years until I opened up the lyrics.
It's about math, isn't it? Because I mean, they're talking
about math,
about circumference.
Right. It's geometry. It's a geometry song. Yeah.
It's a cute little angle, and we're just gonna keep doing that.
But I don't know. There's something so easy to listen to about this stuff. It's a go-to for me if I just need something to put on really quick. I think somebody either asked us, Alex may have asked us in one of the most recent, you got to listen to this is, or...
Yeah, it was Alex that asked that.
Okay. Yeah, and this for me, I'd completely forgotten about this being that for me, even though I knew this was going to be my album. It wasn't until I put it on today that, or yesterday that I heard it and said, oh my God, this is just like putting on a comfortable pair of shoes. It is just such a nice fit, you know?
You know, and you know, when you say that, it makes me think. We both are people who will find music to listen to that challenges us and makes us think.
We both wear shoes.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it just makes us, it challenges and makes us think. We go different directions with it, but there are songs we find artists to listen to that challenge us as listeners.
Sure.
And to be handed this album and have it be, like you said, just kind of an easy listen and not have to really put a lot of overt thought into how they're playing or what the lyrics really are and just lay back and enjoy it was actually kind of a treat, especially after last week when we listened to like one of the more heady things we've ever listened to.
Oh yeah, no kidding. It's true. And even if, like I said, I enjoyed this thing for years without even knowing what the lyrics were. It's not like you have to know what they're singing to really enjoy it. You pick up enough things like, oh, he said, blind man's bluff. And oh, that's talking about, I like your poetry, but I hate your poems. Mm-hmm. The first song on the album, Obscurity Knocks, which is such a great barn burner of a start of an album. These guys are great and have done some stuff. Like I kind of fell away or drifted away from their stuff after the late 90s, early 2000s. I think Weightlifting. I'm looking to see. I went and grabbed what I had handy.
So their albums go Cake, I've Seen Everything, A Happy Pocket.
A Happy Pocket.
Yeah. Weightlifting, In the Music, Wild Pendulum, and All Night in America.
Right. And
it reached 131 on the US Billboard chart.
Oh, it did. Okay. Yep. I wonder why it doesn't say that on the Cake page, but now that, and Obscurity Knock made it to number 12 on the U.S. Alternative. Oh, and Only Tongue Can Tell made it to number 8. So
that's another
guys,
song I really like too.
That was their other big hit, and it's another one that's just laden with hooks, and I don't know, it just fits so well. But yeah, so it was Weightlifting, I think, was the last album of theirs that I heard. So now I've come back to them and said, oh great, I've got three new Trash Can Sinatra albums to listen to.
Well, so and All Night in America came out in 2018, so it's not like they're it's old news. It's relatively current news.
Doesn't All Night in America, and I haven't looked at it yet, but it feels like that's a live album, but it maybe isn't. I don't know.
Either way, it's still 2018, which is not, I mean, as far as music we've covered, not old.
For sure. Three years between albums or 2 years between albums is normal these days, as opposed to in the 70s and 80s. Yes, yeah. We've got an album coming out in January and then one coming out in September. Go buy them.
When I look back at some of the things that are... that we've covered where they're releasing two albums a year, like you said, and they're good albums and they're touring and how do you manage that? No wonder one never had drug problems because they were just working so hard.
Right. Yeah. They needed them to just make it through the day. It's totally
either
true,
to find that 10 minutes of relaxation or to give energy to keep going. I mean, it's just, it's crazy what people are doing to themselves.
Yeah. So true. Very cool. So these guys, when doing some kind of digging to learn more about them, I found out that even during the era that I was listening to, the Happy Pocket era, they released an album for the band or for the Trash Can characters from Trash Can Sinatra's songs called Spook Time. And had never heard of this thing. It was a 15-minute film that they were going to show before screenings of 12 Monkeys in theaters. So like you'd go see 12 Monkeys and before the movie starts, you got 15 minutes of this band's, like almost looks like a college director piece. It's directed by somebody named John McFarlane, who I don't know. But I guess this started to happen and then the parent company or the label, Go Discs, got acquired by Universal. And so I don't know if it ever made it past just showings in Scotland and Ireland, but it's a really interesting, I don't know. It looks at like, I think kind of dating life in Scotland in the 90s kind of thing, but it's very sweary. And, but when you've got accents like that, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. It's always funny when an accent like that swears. But I loved her in my own fashion. Gets her under wraps, planted lots of verbal traps, but she won't be gone for long.
Shite out. Get in the feckin' cab.
Yeah.
Can I say that on Soundography?
Sure. It's not really that you said the word. It was an affectation of the word.
Right. And you can, you know, I'm just, if you want to bleep it out, you can.
I'll find a good record scratch noise or a horse noise or something.
Perfect. But anyway, it's on YouTube if you want to go check it out. At least check out the first few minutes of it. It is, it does feel like a weird... a weird thing to connect to this band. It feels like a very weird thing to watch before 12 Monkeys.
Well, they really want to get you off kilter before you watch 12 Monkeys, which puts you off kilter the minute it started.
Right. Know your doses. These guys also made appearance in Beavis and Butthead on MTV. The song Hay Fever, which I'm guessing... You know, those segments where Beavis and Butthead sat on the couch and watched music videos. I'm guessing that's what their appearance was.
Yeah. I'm probably thinking they probably didn't think it was as cool as you did.
I probably not. Look at these guys.
Cake. I want cake.
Cake. Is this band called Cake?
Yeah. Cornholio needs cake for his bunghole.
Kind of makes me want to go back and watch some old Beavis and Butthead cartoons.
Sometime for our Patreon, we need to watch the Beavis and Butthead do America for our. We need to find.
Oh, you know, I think so. Yeah,
we definitely.
There's a bunch of bands in there, right?
Uh-huh.
Don't Butthole Surfers or Henry Rollins?
Henry Rollins is in there. I know Megadeth is in there.
Megadeth, right?
Your favorite?
Yeah. That's why I'm going to stay away from it. Sorry, I'm going to be washing my hair that week. Sorry. No, you know what? That's not a bad idea, actually.
We don't need to do it right away because we already have our next one, but it's something to have on we don't even really have a list. It's more of a, hey, what about, maybe that's one we actually kind of put somewhere on a burner and let it stew for a while.
Right. Although, holy cow, looking at this, Bruce Willis, Demi Moore, Cloris Leachman, Robert Stack, Greg Kinnear, David Letterman, and two thumbs up from Siskel and Ebert.
On the Beavis and Butthead movie?
The Beavis and Butthead movie.
Okay, so two questions. We need to find it. Is it streaming? That's one question. Yeah. And then secondly, how come it hasn't been film sacked yet?
That's a really good question. I don't know why it hasn't.
Because you guys are always talking about comedies are hard to sack. Well, that would be a perfect one.
This would be an easy one to sack because it's
very much rooted in a time and place.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know. I wonder, I'll have to throw it to the guys and just see what they would think if this is something that would work for the show. I'm scrolling through the Wikipedia page and it doesn't say, you know, it lists the songs that are on the soundtrack, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Oh yeah, of course, their cover of Love Roller Coaster was huge.
Yep.
White Zombie, Ozzy Osbourne, No Doubt. But I don't know how many of them actually did voice work for the film. It might have just been
video collection, video bites.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see if it's streaming.
I don't know. Yeah, that would be the other thing. Is it streaming? Is it streaming? But anyway, so back to Cake. So they don't appear on that movie. They were in one of the regular episodes.
It's on Prime Video and on Paramount Plus.
Is it really? Yeah. Interesting. All right. Oh, that would make sense because Paramount Plus has a lot of that MTV stuff. So
do we want to redo and do the other one later and do this now?
Kind of wouldn't mind it, actually.
Okay, let's do that. We're changing.
All right.
So we're going to tell everybody live.
So Beavis and Butthead do America for August.
Yep, we're going to tell everyone live that we had thought about doing the Paul McCartney talking to Ruben.
Right.
And now we've changed it to Beavis and Butthead do America. So if you're interested,
do America.
That's on Amazon Prime, and we're going to do it sometime in August.
And we will do the Paul McCartney thing as well. So don't worry, that's not going anywhere.
That's not going anywhere. Disappear. And that's exactly right. I don't know how long this is a good one
to grab while we've got it.
Yep. Yeah. Cool.
Cool.
I'm actually more excited now. I mean, I like Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney's awesome, but this is weird, and I like weird more than awesome sometimes.
I agree, and I can only take so much of him preaching about being vegetarian. I mean, come on.
Oh, Sir Paul McCartney.
You know, you've got to stop eating the meat. Anyway.
He won't ever get his pudding then. He will never get his pudding.
I see what you're saying, yeah. So this is an interesting thing. If you go to the Wikipedia page, because it should surprise nobody that I'm very particular about the way my songs are labeled in Apple Music. I've got to have my library organized. I know, right? Shocking.
It's not just songs, everybody. It's also how podcasts are labeled too. So don't worry. Yes, he's indiscriminate with his pickiness.
Not even just how podcasts are labeled, but how audio files that get given to me to be turned into a podcast are labeled. I'll just leave that one right there. But so the first album by the Trash Can Sinatras, Cake, they are the Trash Can Sinatras, space between trash and can. And somewhere along the way, between their first and their fourth album, they switched to being the Trash Can Sinatras. Let's see. Happy Pocket has a space. Well, I've seen Everything Has a Space. So I bet Weightlifting is the first album where they don't have a space. And I don't know what to do with that. What I've gone and done is I've changed it for all their albums. But like you look at Matchbox 20 is another example. They changed
to numbers.
To numbers, right? Or they changed
from numbers to words. To
spelled out. Yes, exactly. They were spelled out 20.
Yeah.
And so this is the thing where I'd have to go back. I would honestly have to go back and rename all the Matchbox 20 songs.
There are problems I have like that too. Like there's a band I listen to where there's an S on the first album and the next two albums are apostrophe S.
Right.
As if possessive. Then there's one where they just wrote it out as OSI. But then another time iTunes put it O period S period I period. So... Oh.
Yeah.
So I've got multiple folders, the same thing, because it's not even just me. It's just the way iTunes labeled them.
am I anal or what? Because that would drive me nuts. Oh, I have them all.
So on the iTunes catalog, I kind of let it go. But in my own personal digital backup files, I fix everything to be the way I think it should be or the way I'd want it to be to make it all findable.
Here's one that I never figured out. The Pretenders, but also Pretenders.
Oh,
so
yeah.
And that's a tough one because they're one of those bands that, you know, Foo Fighters has always been Foo Fighters. They've never been the Foo Fighters. Uh-huh, yeah. And I want to say Smashing Pumpkins has never been the Smashing Pumpkins. No. But
they are the Smashing Pumpkins, depending on where you listen to them.
Pumpkins, yeah. But Pretenders have done that on their albums and almost like...
It's like they're messing with you personally? Like they're messing
with you personally? Yeah, like their first album, The Pretenders, and then they go to Pretenders. The name of the album is Pretenders by The Pretenders.
Yeah, that's them saying, hey, there's this guy in Colorado. Let's F with this guy.
Right, exactly. But then Learning to Crawl says The Pretenders. And Get Close says The Pretenders. Yeah. But then the singles, their greatest hits album says Pretenders.
Yeah,
I just don't know. I'm stumped. I don't know how to handle it, Hammond.
Yeah, but just think, it at least we haven't gone so far that it's now James Hetfield and the Metallicas.
Oh, see, I'd love that.
Yeah,
I'm actually going to go through my music library and change everything Metallica to James Hetfield and the Metallicas. I like that. I really like that idea.
Dave,
I'm going to do that with every band.
Yeah, Dave Mustaine and the Megadeths.
Right. The Pretenders.
That dude with level 42 and the level 42s.
Billy Gibbons and the ZZ Tops.
Oh, hey, speaking of that, we had that death this week.
We did.
We've had a couple of deaths. Tough when
we had Dusty Hill passed away.
And then Joey, one of the former founding members of Slipknot. He died this week,
too. Oh, right. Right. Yeah. You know, it's I love talking about this on here, but one of the ideas I had for something we could do, either between seasons or something, is a catch-up episode where bands that have released, that we've done on the show, that have released new albums since our episode, we do one episode where we listen to all those and talk about them.
I'm totally down.
And, you know, maybe before our next season, we do everyone in season one that we covered, just if anybody in that batch has released a new album. Because a lot of people don't. You know, that we've talked about bands that have broken up. That well, have
Leonard Cohen have probably died. Won't. Leonard Cohen probably won't.
Well, Leonard Cohen passed away. So yeah, I'm guaranteeing he won't. But
well, I don't know. Hendrix passed away. Sure. He's still releasing albums.
Pretty sure Zappa. Nothing new from Zappa. But yeah, something to think about as an idea.
I am totally interested in that.
Cool. All right. Well then Cake by the Trash Can Sinatra.
So I will say that this was a surprise. And I am actually interested in it's funny. I want to listen to more, but I'm actually kind of thinking maybe that I don't listen to more when we put it on for a season or two down the road.
Yeah, I'd be up for that.
Not something
that'd be great,
but something, you know, a couple seasons away, maybe season 10, because we're on 8.
Because I would be really curious to see how their music has evolved. We talked about their like the what was it, One Night in America. I'm seeing, let's see, Wild Pendulum as an album they released in 2016. That wasn't listed on their Wikipedia page. Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to sit down and listen to Did you say that one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Then they have other releases. Senses Working Overtime, Zebra of the Family. Demos and alternate takes, Fez 2005, Midnight at the Troubadour, DVD in 2006.
Oh, so those must be EPs or something. But this one's a collection.
Yeah, no, and that one is, yeah.
Fez is like a...
Yeah, it's live unplugged. Live unplugged.
Acoustic performances.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm putting that on as soon as we're done here. I'm all over that. Cool. Very good. Well, there you go. Trash Can Sinatra's. They're on every streaming service. Go check them out. Let us know what you think of them as well. Or if you're familiar with them, you might be. I guess next is our Patreon supported You Gotta Listen to This. Do we know what we're hearing?
Yeah, rumor has it we're listening to a live Nightwish album. And now I'm familiar.
That's right.
Familiar with a number of live Nightwish albums. So I'm curious which one he's going to have us listen to, because there are a few of them that are kind of landmarky. So I'm interested to see which one. Yeah, that I'm kind of interested to see what he does.
Cool. Yeah, I'm familiar with them only through covers. Yeah. And they've done a lot of great metal covers symphonic metal covers, I should say.
Power metal, symphonic metal, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
When you have an operatic soprano leading your band, you've moved on from just being regular progressive rock.
That's right. You don't do any sort of Hey Dixie when you get that business.
It's a waste of a soprano.
Exactly. Well, very good. All right. So that is going to be our next episode of Soundography. Once again, we want to thank you for your support of the show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for, if you're a patron, thank you for that as well. You will be getting that Beavis and Butthead episode in your feed in August. Check out if you're also a patron, you would have gotten our Through the Never episode that we just recorded, talking about the Metallica film. So hope you enjoyed that as well. And if you're not a Patreon, well, it's really easy to do that. Just go to patreon.com/soundography and check out the stuff there. Guess that's it.
Yeah.
On behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brandon Bitt saying thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on Soundography.